My name is David James. What we're going to do, we're going to go through every verse in the book of the Revelation, and I think it'll help you to understand what's going on in today's world. You know, the Bible tells us exactly what's going to happen in the world. It tells us about the end times and so forth. Let me introduce you to my family. This is the James gang. I've got five grandchildren and one on the way. My daughter Lisa, she's holding the little one right there. She's going to have another one within just a few weeks, and so that'll be four. And that's my wife sitting there with me, and my sons and son-in-laws, and just want to introduce you to them. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I want you to notice it didn't say read. People say, I read my Bible through every single year, and I do, and there's nothing wrong with that, but the Bible doesn't say to read it every year, it says to study it. And to study it, well, just think about how your children study English, math, or anything else. It's memorization, it's compiling figures, and so forth. And so we're supposed to study that Word of God, and the reason is because prophecy in the Bible is so prevalent. 49% of the Bible is prophecy. 49%. In fact, Isaiah is 59%, Jeremiah is 60%, Ezekiel 65%, Joel 68%, Malachi is 56%, Zechariah 69%. This is prophecy. And many people never study prophecy, things about the end time. In the New Testament, Matthew is 26%, Mark's 19%. We go to 20% for John and 45% for Hebrews, 40% for 2 Thessalonians. Jude has 40%, 2 Peter 41%. Revelation has 95% prophecy. And so if you miss prophecy, if you miss the end times, you're missing so much. The book of the Revelation, of course, is to unveil the rest of the Bible and unveil or reveal the prophecies of the Bible. The disciples asked Jesus three questions. They wanted to know. Wouldn't it be nice just to ask Jesus anything you wanted to? Just sit down next to him and say, Lord, why did this happen? Why did that happen? How about this? Why do you make bumblebees like you did? Why do you make bees sting? I don't like that. You know, we could ask God all kinds of things, but they had three questions because he was talking about the temple being cast down and not one stone left upon another. And they're wondering about when these things are going to happen. So they ask him basically three questions. As he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when shall these things be? That's number one. When are these things going to happen that you're talking about? What shall be the sign of thy coming? We want to know some signs so we'll understand when we're in the end times. And of the end of the world. What's going to happen when the end of the world comes? Well, the first question, of course, is at the rapture. This is the tribulation time. It's a period that takes in 7 years, 84 months. It's divided into two parts. Antichrist will control for 3.5 years, and Satan will control for 3.5 years. We have the seals, the trumpets, the beast and false prophet, which makes up Satan's trinity, and the seven vials. Question number two is of the end times. That's when the Lord Jesus Christ is going to return and set up his kingdom for 1,000 years. Now, I know we're going to go fast through this entire seminar or conference. We're going to go fast, but you'll be surprised how much you can actually retain. You can actually understand 300 words a minute and retain it. Not only that, but if you can't retain it, we have out there in the vestibule, we got a syllabus, and we've got a DVD and also a CD. A CD is for the radio. DVD is exactly what I'm doing here. Filmed at Shawnee Baptist Church. It's all professionally done. The pictures are on there and everything as I'm preaching. And so we have those helps also. The millennium, of course, when the end of the world, that's at the end of the 1,000-year millennial period. We'll have graphs from time to time. We don't use too many, so you'll be able to remember them. Question number one, when shall these things be? Lord, what's going to happen? What's going to happen when suddenly we see that the Lord Jesus Christ comes back? Now, they expected him to come back during their lifetime. Signs to watch for. Increased in homosexual activity. Do we have that? As in the days of Lot. Ishmael against Isaac. We're going to get into Ishmael and Isaac this morning and explain to you why the Arabs hate the Jews, why you have Muslims and why you have Jews, and why Israel is the focal point of the world today. Terror in all the world. We saw terror brought to us with 9-1-1 when the Twin Towers were hit. Sorceries and witchcraft. Now, that word sorceries is an interesting word. You remember your Greek class, if you've had it. Sorceries means pharmakia. We get our word pharmacy from that. It means drugs will be prevalent in the end times. That's exactly what it means. Sorceries and witchcraft. Falling away from the true church and doctrine. So many churches have fallen away from the true Bible, from the true doctrines, from the true reason for the church. It's become social clubs. And so we know that's taking place today. Sight replacing faith. People go to church, they want to see somebody heal. They want to see somebody speak in tongues. They want to see a miracle. They want to see. And of course, we are deceived when we see with our eyes, because the Bible tells us to live by faith and not by sight. God's word, question, change, and not believe, 2 Peter 2:2. And we've seen the Book of the Month Club, as far as the Bible of the Month Club. They're out there all over the place. By the way, I'm King James only. Texas Receptus, there's no other Bible, no other book. For years, I taught manuscript evidence in college. And I'll tell you right now that there's no word of God out there truly translated except the King James Bible. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. In the end times, there's a lot of deception taking place. Of course, there's evolution. If you want to talk about evolution, I was an evolutionist until I got out of the Marine Corps. I went through college as an evolutionist. I was a person that didn't believe in God. And I can talk evolution backwards and frontward, either side of the fence. And I'll tell you what, the reason I got saved wasn't because something drastic took place in my life. It was science. I have a background in science, and I'll tell you right now that science proves creation hands down. There's no way that evolution can take place. So evolution, and of course, there's people out there going to try to deceive you. Some of you have been deceived already. How many of you have ever seen a cross like that? And they say that's a Christian cross. No, it's not. If you study Egyptian hieroglyphics, you'll find out that's Ra, the sun god. That's a blessing from Ra, the sun god, and the one carrying it is a worshiper of Ra, the sun god, out of Egypt. And so that's not a true cross. A lot of people think the fish is a sign of a Christian. It's not. It's the sign of a Jew. You see, it's a sign of the Jew given to the Jews by the Babylonians. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And of course, this is sun, moon. Many of you know him as the Moonies. You say, well, what? I mean, how big can he get? He's got over 6,000 young people serving him between the ages of 18 and 25. He has millions of followers in America. He claims to be Jesus Christ. He claims that he's going to buy the earth from Satan when he gets enough money. That's why the Moonies are everywhere begging money. And of course, watch out, because people are saying, I am Christ, which means Christos. You can't get saved through anybody but Jesus Christ. But they'll try to make a savior out of somebody else. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. We hear about that all the time now. Nowhere in history, no time in history, have we had more wars going on and more rumors of wars, especially with Iran getting the nuclear bomb, with North Korea getting the nuclear bomb. I'll be in South Korea next year. I'll be in Britain this year preaching. I just hope the nuclear war doesn't start while I'm in Korea. But see that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. And so wars and rumors of wars and all these lists of 10 different things, the Bible tells us they're all coming to pass right now. Now, is the Lord going to come back tomorrow at 2 o'clock? I don't know. Will he come back in 1,000 years? I don't know. I don't set dates. Matthew chapter 24 tells us no man knows the day nor the hour. So I'm not setting any dates, but everything is ready for him to come back if he wants to. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, we see that in the world, and pestilence, that means hurtful diseases that destroy or kill. We have AIDS since 1985. I lived right outside of San Francisco. Started a church in Vacaville, was there for 9 years, right outside of San Francisco, when the AIDS epidemic hit. Millions and millions of people scared to death about AIDS. Actually, it's a homosexual lifestyle disease, and it's gone into others who are promiscuous, who are commit adultery, and that's the only way you can get it, basically, unless you're born with it. And earthquakes in diverse places, all these are the beginning of sorrows. The word sorrows is Odin. It's a transliteration actually from a Hebrew word. It means the beginning of travail or labor pains. And so that's the cutoff period from the time that the tribulation begins. What shall be the sign of thy coming? Now, this is in the end of the tribulation, that 7-year period when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back to fight the battle of Armageddon. And so that's going to be right here. That's going to be right there. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation. Antichrist is going to have the temple rebuilt so the Jews can worship right next to the Mosque of Omar there in Jerusalem. They found the foundation. The corner of it touches the Mosque of Omar, but it can be built without that kitchen or that ceremonial kitchen. So they can build it anytime they want. Right now they would have a real problem doing it because of the Muslims. They call that the Holy Mount of the Muslims or Dome of the Rock. And so they're not able to build it. But the Antichrist is going to get them to build it. And halfway through the tribulation times, what's known as the abomination of desolation, when they actually offer a pig or some type of animal on the altar, then Antichrist is going to set up a statue of himself and claim that he should be worshipped rather than the Jews, and they're given the mark 666. Now, a lot of this isn't going together right now, is it? It's just a bunch of words and situations. When we get into the book of the Revelation, you're going to see all this come together. You're going to see all of it come together. We'll take verse by verse. This is the 666 that's taking place halfway through the tribulation. You have the seven seals, the seven trumpets, the seven vials, and the three woes. The last woe, of course, is Satan being cast out of heaven. I'm going to like that one. He's cast out of heaven. He's no longer our accuser. And so as we get underway here, let's see, first of all, what's going to happen during that time. Then let them which be in Judea flee unto the mountains. The Antichrist says, every person on the face of the earth must receive 666, the mark of his name or the number 666. There's actually three things that they can have on their right hand or in their forehead. And the Jews are going to say, we don't want this. And they're going to flee to the mountains. They're going to run. And a lot of other people, Gentiles, will not receive it either. So let them flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house, for then shall be great tribulation. The first half of the three years of tribulation is known as tribulation. The last half of the 3 years is known as the great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And so we have tribulation and we have great tribulation. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. In other words, it's only going to last for 3.5 years. Not a real long time in earth's history. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. On eBay, a taco with a picture of Mary in it just sold for over $60,000. A taco. There was also a piece of toast with a likeness of Mary that went for $30,000. You better look for Mary around your house. It's very expensive to get on. Just put it on eBay and somebody will buy it. In Florida, there was a mist that came off of a waterfall. And people said at a certain time of the day, the shadow looked like Mary standing there. Actually, it looked like kind of a glob to me. But they say, that must be Mary, and people go there and they pray and they take incense and they put food down, they cast money at her, they do everything possible, because you see, in the Catholic Church, Mary is actually a savior. She's one that you can be saved by. Now, let me say very quickly that I love Catholic people, but I don't like the doctrines of the Catholic Church. Let me say very quickly that I like charismatic people, I like Pentecostal people, but your doctrine is totally false. It's totally wrong as far as healings, tongues, and things like that. Totally false. You're being duped into believing sight rather than faith, that you can lose your salvation and so forth. And so the visions of Mary, they call her Christos, which means Savior. The last Pope, the only person he ever prayed to was Mary. The present Pope said he will continue that and only pray to Mary and not to Jesus Christ. They lean everything upon Mary. For there shall arise false Christ. In other words, false Christos. People that you can be saved by. If you go into the baptism water and be saved, then you can be saved by water. If you are saved through a person like Moon or one of those, then you can be saved that way. But there's only one way of salvation. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only way of salvation. And shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they will deceive the very elect. Antichrist, Satan, is going to be doing miracles in the end time. See, the charismatic movement is to get everybody ready for Antichrist and Satan, because that's how he's going to control the people. It's through miracles and signs. We'll see that in chapter 13 of the book of the Revelation. And of the end of the world. When's this whole thing going to come to pass? At the end of the world, you have the Old Testament, the New Testament, the 7 years of tribulation, the millennium, and then the end of the world. Immediately after those, the tribulation of those days, shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall away from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of man in heaven. Here he comes. He's coming back. And then shall be the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. The battle of the book of the Revelations is worship. Whether you worship Satan or whether you worship God Almighty. That's the main battle line. And so we're going to get into that, and that's why the word great glory is used here. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and he shall gather together his elect from the four winds of one heaven to the other. This prophecy is coming to pass today. One of these days, the Lord's coming back. He's going to take every Christian off the face of the earth, every blood-bought soul on the face of the earth, he's taken back with him. We've seen what's happened. This is San Francisco. When I was out there, I pastored there for 9 years. Let me tell you, it's a different world. It's totally different than right here. In building projects, in the church, in visitation. The homosexuals are not nice people. They would come to our playground and they would take glass and put it in the sand of our playground. Under the slide, they would break off beer bottles and put under the sand so kids could come down and cut themselves. We've had every kind of act against us possible. They would get into the church, they would do hideous acts and then sue the church. It's just a terrible, terrible situation. But as in the days of Noah, and then doctrines of devils, as in the days of Lot, and wars and rumors of wars. By the time a Muslim is 6 years old over in Iran, Iraq, Saudi Arabia, and so forth, by the time they're 6 years old, they can field strip almost any weapon and use it. They know how to make a bomb, and they will use it. They're taught that in kindergarten. Of course, we've seen the terror come to America with the Twin Towers. We've watched it fall via television. We know that right now at least 4,000 cells in America of terrorists just waiting for word. We know they're here. We know we don't know who they are right now. We don't know what they're doing. Every once in a while, one or two are caught, but they're here. They're going to probably attack major cities or something like that. We don't know, but it's here. And when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed about with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Jerusalem. Now, Jerusalem, actually, the Jews did not have the land until 1948. 1948, May 14th, Israel became a nation. But only part of Israel was a nation. The rest of it was owned by the Palestinians. Now, actually, the Palestinians never owned it in the first place. You see, there's no such word as Palestinians, but that's what they like to be called because of the area of Palestine. Right now, 19 nations, as God said, going to circle them. 19 nations are around Israel. Here's a few of them. Turkey, Lebanon, Iran, Jordan, Iraq, Saudi Arabia, Egypt, Ethiopia. They all hate Israel, but they have something in common. They're all related. Every one of them. How many of you have brothers? How many of you have sisters? How many of you have never had a fight with them? Okay. Brothers and sisters fight. Did you know that Isaac and Ishmael are related. They're brothers. Now, Isaac is all the Jews. And Ishmael composes all the Arabs or all the Muslims today. And that's why they hate each other. Ariel Sharon, he's in a coma right now. He had an aneurysm and has had some other problems. But he's a direct descendant of Abraham. So is, of course, Isaac. The Lord said in chapter 12, verse 1, I want to show you what sin will get you into. You see, what adultery will get you into, what having a baby out of wedlock will get you into. Not only did it hurt for this time of Abraham, it's hurt all the way down through history from generation to generation. Now the Lord hath said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house and the land that I will show unto thee. And of course he took Terah, he took Lot, his nephew, and they went on down. He should have left them there, but he didn't. And I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing. That blessing is that Jesus Christ will come out of Jerusalem or out of the Jews. And he will therefore be the Savior of the world. That's the blessing for the entire world. And I will bless them that bless thee. That's important. In 1919 through 1921, Britain, England, had an opportunity to give all the land of Israel back to the Jews. If the Jews would help them to win the war. The synthetic gunpowder was founded by a Jew. Other things were founded by Jews. They put them together. They won the war. Right after the war, Britain says, oh, we made a mistake. We're not going to give you the property, Jews. We're going to give it to the Palestinians. We're going to give it to the Arabs. And if you'll notice, from 1921, Britain has had a steady decline. They have lost land all around the world. Today, their navy couldn't beat anyone except in the Falkland Islands if we help them. England today, which was the mightiest army, the mightiest naval force on the face of the earth, has been reduced to zero as far as a world power. And so, I'll bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee. We better bless Israel. We better keep on blessing Israel because, you see, God says, I'm going to bless you if you bless them. And God said, Sarah, thy wife shall bear thee a son. Now, they're old. They're in their 90s. But Sarah, this is a promise from God. Sarah, thy wife, shall bear thee a son. Indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him. Did you know if you read the Quran, you'll find a lot of the Bible in the Quran? There's a lot of scriptures in the Quran, but they take the word Isaac out and they put in Ishmael because of the law of primogeniture. The law of primogeniture says that the firstborn receives everything. How many of you boys in here are firstborn? Okay, if your father died, you would become the head of the family, and all your siblings, brothers and sisters, would become your servants. How many of you like that? Okay, that's true. That's called the law of primogeniture. It happened. It's in the book of Deuteronomy. It's in the book of Numbers. The oldest one controls the family at that time. I will establish my covenant with him. With who? With Isaac. My covenant is with Isaac. The covenant of the land, the covenant of the law of primogeniture, the covenant of everything, although he won't be firstborn because of a sin. Sin's going to be creeping in. But God says Isaac is the one, and with his seed after him. This promise was made before he was born. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at the set time in the next year. But Sarah didn't agree. Sarah said, I'm old. I can't have a baby. I'm past the childbearing stage. There's no way that I'm going to give birth to a child. And so Yasar Arafat is Ishmael, and this is her firstborn. It is going to be Ishmael, not Yasar Arafat, but Ishmael. Today we know that Muhammad Abbas, and he's of Ishmael, January 9, 2005, when the other died, then he took over the reins. But something very difficult in the world political system happened, and that is Hamas. Hamas has taken over the government of the Palestinians in Israel. They are sworn enemies of Israel. They want to totally destroy Israel. I would pronounce some of these names. I can do Hajja Ali, and that's the only one I can pronounce. But these people have dedicated themselves to destroying Israel, and now they're right there amongst their brethren. They're right there in Israel. Well, the Bible tells us, now Sarah, Abram's wife, bare him no children. She didn't have any children. God promised her a child, and she didn't have any yet. He said, next year you're going to have one. Just wait, just wait, just wait. But so many times we become impatient with God, don't we? We want it right now. And she had a handmaid in Egyptians whose name was Hagar. Hagar. Now, Hagar's an Egyptian. She's out of an ungodly country as far as religion is concerned. And Sarah said unto Abram, behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. Pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarah. Men, don't listen to your wives, okay? Whatever you do, it gets you into trouble. I mean, not just here, but listen, think about Adam and Eve. If he would have had the courage to say, no, dear. I mean, you know, it would have been much better for us. He hearkened to her voice. Go in unto her. She's young. She's attractive. Didn't take much to convince him, did it? But it was sin, and he knew it was sin. He went unto her, and Sarah, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. This simply means to go in and have a child with her. That's all it means. And he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. It's very simple. Hey, I gave him a baby. You didn't. You know the turmoil that goes on because of that. You know the problems that go on because of that. All kinds of ramifications. In fact, if you go to the New Testament and you read the book of Galatians, it's about this. The whole book of Galatians is about this ungodly act that Abraham performed. The bondwoman and the free woman. Cast out the bondwoman, as Abraham will have the bondwoman Hagar cast out with the child, Ishmael. And so Ishmael is actually firstborn. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, behold, thou art with child and shall bear a son, and thou shalt call his name Ishmael. Now, he's going to be the first of Abraham's seed, not born by Sarah, but born by Hagar, the very first. So the law of primogeniture goes to him. But you know, God breaks that law of primogeniture lots of times, like Manasseh and Ephraim and Jacob and Esau. The firstborn was set aside and the secondborn, showing us that it's not the first birth that saves you, it's the second birth, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the Lord had heard thy afflictions, you know the story how she went under a bush, she put the child away about a bow shot, and she sat down. Oh, God, I'm going to starve in my baby, Lord. God says, I'm going to take care of him, but there's something I want you to know. You're going to name him Ishmael, which means God will hear. And as for Ishmael, I've heard thee, Behold, I have blessed him. God says, I'm going to bless him because he's Abraham's seed. A lot of people know the blessing of Isaac, but not many people know the blessing of Ishmael. And I will make him fruitful and multiply him exceedingly. And there are 12 princes shall he beget. You go to the book of Genesis, you'll find all 12 of the princes. And I will make him a great nation. They're not a great nation, never have been a great nation yet. But you know what? They're becoming a great nation. Right now, they're taking over almost the entire world. Up until 1972, 73, they were boxed in. They were kept in a certain area. And the reason for that, the Bible says, he will be a wild man. This is Ishmael. He will be a wild man. His hand will be against every man, and every man's against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. He's going to dwell with the Jews, around the Jews, and in the Jews. But he's a wild man. Do you know how many of you ever heard the Foreign Legion? How many of you husbands wanted to go join the Foreign Legion when your wife got really upset? Okay. The Foreign Legion, the French Foreign Legion, was a group of men who got together. They created an army, and they would go to hot spots. Their major goal was to keep the Muslims on their property in Iran, Iraq, and Saudi Arabia. Don't let them out. Because everywhere they go, there's death and destruction. Everywhere they go, they destroy governments. They're a wild man. Now, we're not saying that every single Muslim is like that, but we're saying as a whole, they're like that. Every country they've gone into, they've led death and destruction. What's going on in Africa right now, in Kenya and other places, it's Muslims coming in to destroy and kill anyone that will not become Muslim. You read the Quran, if you're not a Muslim, then you will have your right hand cut off and your left foot cut off. And if you still are not a Muslim, you'll have your throat cut. It's a simple, in the Quran, over 50 times it says to kill every Christian and Jew you find wherever you find them. Aren't you glad that all Muslims don't go by the Quran? That's okay, because most Christians don't go by the Bible either. But you know, that's what it says in the Quran. They're a wild man. They're wild. Right now, the Philippines are reaping years and years of Muslims going in because now they're having war after war after war. Britain right now, churches are closing down everywhere and Muslim mosques are being built all over England. Germany, how about France who just had the riots? Remember the riots in France? That was Muslim extremists trying to take over the government. Everywhere they go, they've been like this. And that's why the Crusades, how many of you ever heard the Crusades? Okay, it's actually a Catholic against the Muslims. There were others in there. But basically, that was to keep the Muslims out of Israel and in their own land because everywhere they go, they wreak destruction. And no matter how many times they shake hands, the Bible says they're never going to have peace, and they don't have peace today. They've never had peace. They've had bombings, and now down in Chad and different places, bombings here recently. Because of Israel's sin, God allowed the Assyrians and Babylonians. Do you remember the three kings? You have, of course, Saul, David, and Solomon. Then the kingdom split with Rehoboam and Jeroboam. As the kingdom split, you have the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. Well, God, after 21 kings and 19 kings, says, I've had enough of it. I'm going to take Israel and scatter them throughout the world. And they were scattered throughout the world. The Babylonians came in, took out two of the tribes, and the Assyrians took out the other 10. The two tribes of Benjamin and Judah. It's interesting to note that Benjamin was Saul's tribe and Judah, of course, was David's tribe. Were taken by the Babylonians. 2 Kings chapter 17, verse 20 says, And the Lord rejected all the seed of Israel and afflicted them and delivered them into the hand of spoilers until he had cast them out of his sight. He says, I just want to get rid of the Jews, get them throughout the land. And one day he says, there's a remnant coming back. How many of you have ever read the book of Ezekiel? You got to read it. What a book. I mean, what other guy will take... How would you like it if your pastor went out here in the road, took a frying pan, etched the sketch of a city, of the city here, and laid down on his right side a couple of hundred days looking into that frying pan? And then after that, got on the other side and sat and looked in that frying pan. 8 hours a day he did that. As long as the sun was up, he'd go home at nighttime. But what if he shaved all the hair on his body, put it in three piles, took a knife, stabbed one of them, took one, threw it to the wind, took the other and set it on fire, and took a little bit and sewed into his clothes? You'd think he was a nut. You know, I've spent some time with him, like B, anyway. Anyway, listen, those are called sign sermons. Ezekiel is full of sign sermons, but you won't understand. understand them unless you understand the heritage of the Jews and the heritage of Ishmael and the prophecies of each and the book of the Revelation. You won't understand those sign sermons. And so they're scattered throughout the land, but God says, I'm going to gather them all back someday. There's going to be a remnant. They're scattered now, but they're coming back. 1948, May 14th is when they came back. Thus saith the Lord God, when I shall have gathered the house of Israel from the people among whom they are scattered, and shall be sanctified in them in the sight of the heathen, then shall they dwell in their land that I have given unto my servant Jacob. They're back in their land today. That happened in 1948. Talk about prophecy being fulfilled. How many of you can prophesy what's going to happen in 3,000 years from now? It's the only country that has been kicked out of their land and came back as that same force, as the Jews. All other people that scatter are assimilated. In other words, they come to America, they become Americans. The Jews came to America, they did not become Americans, basically. They still love their homeland. They're still Jews. They still follow, not all Jews, but basically they do. Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 1, the Valley of Bones. He explains this in the Valley of Bones. He says, the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones. Must have been a great battle there at one time. The bones were all over the place. They didn't even bury the dead. They just left them there. And caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in an open valley. And lo, they were very dry. They're dead. They're gone. I mean, these people can never live again. And God, why'd you bring me out here to show me this valley full of bones for, Ezekiel says. And he said unto me, son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord, God, thou knowest. I don't know, Lord. I mean, there's a lot of bones out here. And he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. So he's going to stand out there and preach a message to a valley full of bones. I preached to some churches like that before. Do you know that? I have. But I was hoping they'd revive. Thus saith the Lord, unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. He says, these bones are going to live again. Now, with this, it's kind of like a flannel graph lesson. He's showing Ezekiel something, and he's showing you and me something. He's first presenting the story, and now he's going to give the interpretation. And I will ascend you upon you, and I will bring flesh upon you, and cover you with sin, with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Valley full of bones. They're going to stand up. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and bone came together, bone to his bone. How many of you ever heard that song? Them bones going to walk around. That's taken out of this. I think Ezekiel probably stepped back and says, Lord, you sure you want me to be here? All these bones started moving. There's a backbone over here, and suddenly the ribs come and connect themselves, and all of a sudden the hand and the arms, and it's a huge valley, and it's full of these. And when I beheld, lo, the sinew and flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. So they're there, there are people, they're standing up, but there's no breath. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. He's going to make these people live. He's going to make them alive again. So I prophesy as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. This great army. And now he's going to explain it. Then he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Listen, Israel's back in their land today. They're a nation to be contended with. They're a mighty army, and no one messes with Israel. In the Seven-Day War, 1969 war, in the 1972 war, people learned, nine nations at one time and 18 nations another time learned, you don't mess with Israel. I remember Moshe Dayan. I was in the Marine Corps during that time. 1967, 62, 69, when the beginning of the war and the war actually took place. Moshe Dayan, here comes 800 tanks across Syria heading for Israel. Moshe Dayan, what a leader. He says, forget the tanks. They're no problem. Go back and bomb all their fuel supply. So they went back and bombed all their fuel supply. The tanks ran out of fuel. The men got out of the tanks with the army and started heading back. Israel went over, got in the tanks, fueled them up, and chased them with their own tanks. Now, I was in artillery. I was in special weapons and in artillery. In artillery, you have a grenade. It's a grenade that if your weapon's going to be captured, It's called an incendiary. And you pop the grenade, throw it up into the barrel, and close the breech block, and it destroys the rifling so it can't be used against you. And they didn't use it. They were so worried about getting out of there. Now, he says, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried. When Israel left the land 3,000 plus years ago, when they no longer were in the land, people said, ha, Israel's no longer a force. Now, Israel was never assimilated, and that's why they're hated. They went to France, but they stayed within themselves and did not become French. They went to Russia, but they stayed within themselves and did not become Russia. They came to America, they stayed within themselves. They really do. They do not assimilate. And that's why people all over the world hate them, because they maintain their own religion, their philosophies, their doctrines. They maintain those things as a whole. And so our bones are tried, our hope is lost, we are cut off from our parts. Up until 1948, people would say, the Bible's wrong. I mean, Israel's not back in their land. The Bible's wrong. There's no hope of them ever going back into their land. But there was. And in 1948, they took their own initiative, took huge ocean liners, rammed them up on the beach, got off and claimed the property. And it was theirs. The United Nations later made a proclamation that it was theirs. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. This is Ezekiel chapter 37. It took place in 1948. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves. Israel, that's where it's all at today. I mean, that's the whole battle of the entire world. That's all you hear about. Why, if Iraq gets this bomb, the very first thing they said they're going to do is take a silkworm missile from China and send it right over to Tel Aviv. And there's going to be a war. We've got to stop this. And that's the focal point of the world today, right there. Everything centers on Israel, just exactly like God said, will take place in the end times. Exactly like God said. Isn't it funny that the Bible, word for word, is perfect? Isn't that strange that Israel's back in their land now, and that they're a force to be contended with, and that nobody wants to go against Israel? In fact, they'll go against the United States before they'll go against Israel as a country. They don't want to go against Israel. And as soon as the Twin Towers was hit, all the countries that were Muslim, we didn't do it, we didn't do it, we didn't do it, we didn't do it. Instantly, because they knew the retaliation. They didn't fear America's retaliation. They feared Israel's retaliation. They fear Israel. Israel has over 40 nuclear bombs right now. That's documented. They have over 40 nuclear bombs. Some of them are between 10 and 90 megaton. A 90 megaton will take Iran, the entire country, and reduce it to ashes. One bomb. And they've already said that if Iran gets that bomb, and we've got patriots lined up all around Jordan, all over the place, to knock it out of the sky, then they will definitely retaliate with their own. World War III, Russia has a pact. Guess who with? Who's building the nuclear reactor? Huh? France and Russia. And they have pacts that anybody attacks Iran, then they will help them fight. So if we attack Iran, we're going against Russia and France. It gets very political, doesn't it? Very political. I'm waiting for the Lord to come back.